What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Breaking Blue podcast. Not live this time, unfortunately. Just couldn't really work that out, so next time we'll do it. But I'm still Nolan Fleming, once again joined by Mr. Wildcat Wave himself, Wyatt Huff. Wyatt, how you doing?
Doing great. L's down, and we had a bit of a setting problem with my background today, so we're just going to record today. Well, we'll figure that out next week.
Yeah, for those of you unaware, this week's finals week for UK. So to say that our lives currently are hell on earth is an understatement. just like a bajillion things coming at us at once. It's kind of crazy, but we're making it through.
I could tell when I got on here, you looked a little flustered. So
yeah, I've been in the study room for about 4 or 5 hours, knocking out economics.
That's how I was last week. I had most of my finals this or last week. I got a couple this week, but not as many.
Economics is going to be the death of me, though.
Mine was philosophy. So good luck with.
I'm not failing it. I don't expect to fail it, but it is very, very much just intense. So I can't wait for that class to be over here in 3 days. Yeah, 3 days. I don't even know what day it is anymore, but I did get the chance over the weekend to go to Rupp Arena and went and watched the Cats beat the Cards 93-85, L's down for life. Had an interesting weekend for sure. Video tweet kind of did good for me. Congratulations to me on that, I guess, if I really care. Thanks, KSR. But then also, ESPN has an addiction to me, apparently. So there you go. That was good.
Hey,
new PFP.
Yeah, you got a moment in the spotlight this weekend on the
special.
On one of the watch games of the season, probably.
Yeah, I looked like a crazy person. I was just standing up. If you haven't seen it, it's my new Twitter profile pic. I'm literally standing up, pretty much on top of the chair in front of me, doing L's down, both L's down, above my head. It's crazy. It was cool.
Did you get yelled at for standing?
No, I didn't get yelled at for standing. I was in, actually, our whole section did stand pretty much the entire game.
That's good.
Section 33. Section 33. I was right behind. Okay, let me tell you this, actually. I was right behind. Did you see the guys with Pope painted across them, right?
Yeah.
That was where I was. I was right behind them. So I'm in a lot of stuff on ESPN and on everything that's being posted.
That's good.
KSR posted the whole thing about sitting and standing. In that video, I am standing there doing a thinking pose right behind them for some reason. I haven't quite figured out why I'm doing the thinking pose, but I am doing it. And then my brother's to my left on his phone, and my friend is to my right. He's short, so he's trying to look over somebody. It kind of explains my life a little bit in that moment.
That's funny, and I know what the section you're talking about, the reserve for students. That's a section you know it's always going to show up.
It was great. It was a great experience. We camped out there pretty much from about 9 a.m. until tip off, and we got second row. We got row B. So it was worth it. But
I know other people in other sections were getting yelled at, you know, the cop. But if you want to go into that detail, we can. But
yeah, let's talk about that for a second. What the actual fuck? What is going on? Why do we care that much about people standing up at a game?
It's crazy to me, and one of the things with it is, it's like, I know we don't know the full context, but if you're gonna yell at somebody for standing at the Kentucky Louisville game, what is wrong with you? Like, especially if you're the same fan. I can understand the other fan getting angry at another fan of another team because they're upset they're losing, but you're the same fan. Like that what gets me. I'm like, we're supposed to be in it together.
There's only one situation in which I feel like genuinely like sympathetic towards the person saying sit down. And that's like if someone like maybe is really old or it hurts to stand up, right?
Yeah.
Or they can't like, stand if, up. Then that's different.
If they're unable to stand, then I get that. I'll sit down for you.
But one of those callers was on KSR this morning and says that they did work it out with the people directly behind them. Therefore,
crazy.
I really don't understand what the problem was.
That's crazy. And I'm guessing the guy that was yelling at him was a couple rows behind or over to the side of him.
To the side of him, I think. But you know who
would that?
You know who it was? Have you seen him on Twitter?
No.
Clay Fink is who it was. That's who one of the people was. He's a beat writer for Florida State.
Yeah.
Massive UK fan. Give him a follow. 24/7 Sports. But he's a good guy. It was him and one of his friends, I think, and they got threatened that they were going to be arrested for standing up. I don't know how you would arrest somebody for standing up, but whatever. But either way, yeah, this is why Rupp Arena sucks so hard sometimes. It is the land of old people, and that's an issue to me.
The land of stuck-up people that don't want to have any fun and are there because they spent a lot of money.
I'm tired of this idea that, oh, we're the richest tradition, but that means we got to do things the right way. Shut up. Shut up.
No offense to people, but I get to the point where I laugh at the people that will go. You know how they can go down on the court and go to the back, the hospitality room.
Yeah.
I get to the point where I laugh because I'm like, that's the only reason they're there.
Can I tell you how many times I saw, because that you know where I was, I'm pretty much right by
luxury.
That.
It's the luxury they're there for. They're not there to cheer.
Do you know how many times I saw people try to go back to that hospitality room during crucial points of the game?
No.
Crucial points of the game. Kelly Kraft is actively going to the back. No, this is not a diss to Kelly Kraft. The Kraft family has done great things for the University of Kentucky, but people in those sections are going back to the hospitality room all the time. It's a three-point game. It's a three-point game, and we're going to the hospitality room here.
That's crazy. I just...
Get your money out my face.
I don't understand. Now, for the 2% that are actually, you know, that actually care and cheer and get their money's worth, I respect that. But not to the people that are there because, oh, luxury. Rupp Arena, we get to go to the hospitality room. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you're there to cheer. Especially... If it's a rivalry game.
Bro, I saw a few of them. A blue coat got into an interaction with a couple of them because they were actively trying to go to the hospitality room while the team's running onto the court. That's how stuck up these people can be.
That's wild.
That's the people that Rupp Arena is pandering to right now. What are we doing, man? I'm getting fired up. I'm fired up now.
Yeah. Now the place I do not mind, I know they took it away from media, but the hockey box up in the upper level, I don't mind that. They're not bothering anybody. They got their own place up there. It's just the lower level, you know, they got to go back to where the team goes, to the hospitality room.
Right. Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's really stupid. But Rupp Arena's got to figure its stuff out, man.
Okay.
It's got to figure its stuff out.
Never mind. I was about to say something, but I'm pretty sure. Sometimes I get my end zones mixed up, but I would say for the state tournament they go in a different tunnel to the different hospitality room. I don't know if that's the away locker room or not. I'll figure that out because I mean it's not on the top of my list, but there's another way you could go. Like it doesn't have to be back there where the team goes.
Man, it's really stupid.
I just think it creates a cluster back there. How do they?
They were actively screaming at common fans to sit down. Common fans. If that was a rich person, do you think they'd be screaming at them? If that was a booster, you think they'd be screaming at them? No. You know what would happen? The whole arena would stand up. That's what would happen.
That would.
But hell, it's such a miracle on earth if those people stood up that everyone would have no choice but to stand up. When else are they going to get the chance to?
I love how, you know, at a crucial moment of the game, you stand up, some guy's back there like, hey, sit down. No, I'm not sitting down.
I've heard it so many times. I've heard it so many times.
It's insane.
And why do we have this thing where we only stand up for the right moments? We'll stand up when we look like we're going on a run, then they hit a shot, and then, oh, well, we're all going to sit back down and just watch this game play out. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's the only sport crazy. We're the only place that does that.
It's annoying, and the crazy thing is, you know, we've heard Rupp being compared to the Opera House, and it's like,
oh my gosh, they make the Opera House look like it's insane.
Now, I will say the fan turnout has been really good this year, but it's that 2% that we know where they sit. It's the lower level, like the upper level fans have to be the most passionate fans I've ever seen. And then you get to the lower you go,
the less they care.
Yeah.
That I do advise anyone that's never been to a game, don't even try to sit in the lower bowl. Sit in the bleachers. Really, sit in the bleachers. If that's what you care about. If you care about atmosphere, sit in the bleachers. That's the craziest place to ever sit.
It's really fun up there, actually.
It's actually a lot of fun. You hear the old ladies like dropping F-bombs. It's like, dang, then you're going to be in church on Sunday.
No, you're closer to the court. But closer to the court, the lower you get, obviously. But if you're there for like loud, I would say set up at the top because it can get pretty rowdy up there.
It's a lot of fun. I've done it many times. It's great. Heck, I've done it intentionally because I wanted that, to be honest with you. But I'll say one thing and I'll get off my soapbox. Last year, I remember putting out a tweet of something along the lines of it was a joke tweet. It was a joke. It was a list of how to root on your team for Rupp Arena. Yeah, it got a lot of,
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, actually, let me find the tweet and read some of these comments.
I do remember that. Yeah.
They were brutal.
It's crazy. We got to a point. Now, of course, you had to do that because at the time it was even worse than what it is.
Oh my God, it was bad. We're talking like tail end of Calipari,
and the team was not performing at the highest level, and it got to the point where it was like the lowest of lows, of like the atmosphere there. Because I remember when you put that out, it was like the perfect time. Because now, obviously, the fan turnout has been amazing this year. But unfortunately, you got that 2% of fans that act like, hey, there's this guy standing up.
Yeah, here we go. What we say. So first of all, I said, as a joke, lastly, if we win, don't rush the court. Someone said, rush the court when we even do that. By the time y'all get up and cheer, I've sat directly across from student section, blah, blah, blah. Come on, where's this rest of the stuff? There's some other stuff here. It's really bad. Oh, here's my favorite one. Okay, Mr. UKY 2027, grow some ball hair before you tell me what to do. This is the people. These are the people we're dealing with.
It's exactly what we're talking about. It's the stuck-up people that don't want to be told what to do and want to tell other people how to fan.
Okay, again, this is November 28, 2023. I said, number one, when the person in front of you stands up, you stand up. Do not tell them to have a seat. Or just stand the whole time, in parentheses. That was November 28th of 2023.
Yeah, that's...
Number two, scream when Miami has the ball, just like in football. This was when we were playing Miami. It was about to be a huge game.
It's sad you had to do this, but that...
Number three, if we have hit a cold spell, cheer. The Wildcats feed off of your energy. Number four.
It's like talking to a little kid.
Number four. CATS participation is mandatory. Number five. Know the fight song by heart. If you don't know it, learn it by 7:30 p.m. Also, clap along. And number six. If we win, don't rush the court.
Please don't. I can't tell you how many times I've heard students say, like if we beat Tennessee, we should rush the court. I'm like, no.
I heard about Arkansas this year. I'm like, if we rush the court for Arkansas, I'm not a fan. That's a lie. I'll be a fan forever, but like still.
No, but I'll be ashamed.
I'll be very disgusted if we do that. If we do that strictly because we beat our former coach, what the hell?
Please don't do that. Please don't ever say that. Please
anyway, that. I think it's time I retweet that. Hang on. I'm going to retweet that and get people pissed off at me. Ready? Quote tweet.
Now seems like the perfect time. It's just, wow, just a complete troll move.
Yeah, check your Twitter. They're going to kill me. All right. Excuse me. But you get the point. Stand up. Either way, as for the game itself, we're dead. I am dead. If you don't hear from me in another week, you know what happened. Lamont Butler had probably the greatest individual performance I have ever seen in a Kentucky-Louisville game. 10 for 10 shooting, 6 for 6 from 3, 33 points, and he missed 5 free throws. Could have had the record, but wasn't meant to be. Kentucky won 93 to 85, I believe was the score.
Yep.
Again, just a great game. The whole game, though, I think it got up to 10 as the highest score, the highest margin, but it just never got past that. It stayed within 4 and 10 the whole game.
The thing was, I heard Jeff Goodman talk about this earlier. I was listening. I've got to the point where I'm a consistent listener of the Field of 68 when they're talking about the Cats. And he was talking to yeah, Louisville hung around, but Kentucky was in control the whole game. Like, there was never really a point where Louisville had control.
Yeah, I never...
Kentucky was it was a pretty consistent lead. Like, they kept it pretty around the same.
Yeah, I never really thought we were going to lose during the game. I never really thought that. I do think there are still some problems that maybe need to be addressed.
Yeah.
But that's just natural at this point. Either way, we won. We're 10-1.
Yeah, there's some areas, especially with the shooting, it hasn't been going good. But last game, you shot 52%. I think it was 11 of 21, I believe.
Yeah.
That's a little bit better, but still, you've got to get that's not anywhere near the attempts that Pope wants.
Yeah, and Kobe Bray is cold right now. He's not really hitting at the moment.
I feel like it's getting to that. You remember when Kellen Grady would get to the point where he would pass up shots?
Yeah, like in February and March when he just was not shooting the ball.
Yeah.
And if he did, it was brick.
I hope it don't get there because we really need him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's true. We need to get him going. Jackson Robinson's a little bit better, but he does need to rein it in a little bit. Honestly, our best three-point shooter right now is, oddly, Lamont Butler.
It's crazy.
That's insane. I never thought that would be the case.
Who would have thought the two best defensive guys would be our two best players? Just say also offensive.
Not me.
They're not lacking an offense. I thought Oway would be, he's like Kawhi Leonard on defense, but can't do crap on offense.
See, that's what I thought about him.
He is literally, it's hard to make a good comparison because he is. I don't want to make a comparison, but you get what I'm saying. It's crazy that we've got these defensive guys that can turn the defense and the offense in second.
Yeah, he's kind of one of one, to be honest with you. He's one of the only players I think I've seen that can really do that.
Yeah.
Especially at the elite level that he does. Now, granted, he probably had his worst game until the last 4 or 5 minutes against Louisville.
It's unbelievable because he had six. I remembered earlier because I did an article on it. He had 6 points at half and then ended up with 11 in the second half, I believe. He sparked the big in the final minutes. That three and that dunk. How much balls did it take to shoot that three,
though? Yeah. Now, that dunk, we're not talking about that enough in the first half where he just dunked on their guy. We're not talking about that enough for some reason.
Yeah, that was...
Did that end up SC top 10?
I don't know. I think we would have seen it by now.
I would have thought it would because you dunked on him.
We would have seen it by now.
Either way, it was great. That was a great play. I think that's a play that's going to be remembered for a while.
I think another thing in the game that I would have wanted to see more was Louisville had 7 turnovers.
Yeah. And
we only had, I believe it was, they had 7 turnovers. We only had 7 points off their turnovers.
We got to capitalize on that a little bit.
That's a thing that can separate us from other teams. And I think that was kind of what was kind of keeping Louisville around.
Yeah, that's true. And their 3-point shooting, they probably shot the best they're going to shoot all year. They came into the game ranked towards the bottom in shooting. And ended up hitting, I don't remember how many, 14 of 38, 14 of 39, something like that. I think 9 of them were made by Chucky Hepburn.
Do you remember at the beginning of the season where it was through the first 5 or 6 games, we were holding teams to 20, 22, 23% from deep?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that feels like that's gone away a little bit. I don't know, actually. The Gonzaga game, I mean, they didn't really hit their shot.
I think for the most part, it's our shooting that's been going down a little bit.
That's true.
And I think Pope's biggest thing on getting the shooting attempts up is to be more aggressive on offense and have more of an identity towards that. And I think that could help get the temps up a little bit. Like, because 21, to be honest, like, for this team is trying to get to, I mean, he's trying to get to 35. That's 14 extra threes you could have put up. But a win's a win against a rival team, so it's hard to complain. Like, and also, Nolan, I had a Louisville fan text me. He's a good friend of mine, former teacher at my high school, or he still teaches there. His former coach,
right?
He texts me and goes, "I bet you didn't think it was gonna be that close, did you?" And I was like, "Is that your form of a win now?"
That's how far they have fallen. They are taking moral victories nowadays. They don't know what it's like to actually beat us. I mean, it's been how long? Well, no, I take that. 2020 was that? Didn't Chris Mack beat them one time? I think. Yeah, we were 9-16. So. They won that game.
Oh, so, yeah. But that's crazy that they won that year. But
they shouldn't have won that game. But either way, yeah. They haven't won at Rupp in, I think, 2000, since the George W. Bush administration. It's been that long, guys. Oh, God, we got political. But
I don't care.
Yeah, really.
That can come at us.
Yeah, like, we didn't give a stance. But anyway.
Whoever wants to.
Yeah, whoever wastes their time doing
that. Hey, I mean, it's come to the point now. I don't mean to go deep into it, but I think it's funny now you can say a person's name and people will still go off without saying anything.
Here, watch this. But, watch this. You ready? 3, 2, 1. J.D. Vance. Anyway.
That'll get them fired up.
We're dead. Okay, so. To be partial, Tim Walz. Okay. I'm getting us killed. That sounded like Russell Wilson. Spicy. But it was a good win. But Louisville has been dominated in this series. They have been dominated, yeah. And their program is dead in the water. Until now, I will say Pat Kelsey is bringing them back. They have a pretty solid team.
What is the record? Isn't it like 23-10?
Something like that.
Like all time, I'm pretty sure it is.
I think all time is like we're like 40-17 against them.
That is hilarious. Like,
yeah, they talk a lot. They talk a lot for someone who gets dominated.
Yeah,
like they are little brother. Look at the picture of Mark Pope putting Pat Kelsey in a headlock. That's little brother right there. That's the little brother that we're talking about.
I thought that was funny because I know he didn't mean to, but it's kind of like he's a giant.
Pat Kelsey's a tiny man, though. He's tiny. He's like 4'3". I mean, like.
I will say I respect him after the game. He gave him a lot of credit. And Pat was, you know, I think he said he thought about Lamont in his nightmares. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, that was really funny. When he played him at Charleston in the tournament.
Yeah. He complimented Kentucky all week. He said this is the best Kentucky team ever.
I think he said in the last 10 years at least.
Oh, in the last 10 years. I was going to say, I was like, he didn't say ever, but I was like in my head, I was like 2012, 2015. I know he said something along those lines, but like it's all week he was talking them up and then. Talked him up after, like, you got to respect the guy, at least right now.
Yeah, I can give him credit for sure. He's done a great job over there rebuilding.
It's hard not to respect him, but I like beating him just because I think it's funny.
Don't fire him, by the way. Don't fire him after this year because, I mean, he's in the long run.
He's a really good coach.
In the long run, they're going to be good. I can already tell. I mean, they might beat us next year, but because they got that, what's his name? Who's the guy they're gonna bring in, the 5-star? Crap.
Oh, I gotta look, but
you know what I'm talking about. They're probably getting ready to land him. But either way, yeah, the fight was awesome. Like for the first time in God knows how long, it felt like an actual intense rivalry. Noah Waterman. By the way, my section behind Pope guys, all we did was talk crap to that guy.
You know what I thought was funny?
He's a little prick.
He's like the typical Louisville player, but he came from Pope.
He's hateable. He's hateable. He talked trash the entire game to Garrison. He eventually got what was coming.
I really thought that was weird because I was like, would Pulp recruit a guy like that?
He did get Kerr, though.
Like, I really...
Yeah, oh, but dude.
It's different. I think the tattoos add a lot to Waterman.
He has his own first initial tattooed on his right arm. What are we doing? Oh,
no, that's bad.
Why are we doing that?
That's
bad.
Imagine Kerr
in this game, though.
That's another level of selfish.
Imagine Kerr playing in this game for real, though. Oh, my God. We really missed out on that, on Kerr not being healthy for this, but is what it is, I guess. Now, I will say, I didn't bring this up. Why did I not bring this up? Where I was sitting behind the Pope, guys, I might or might not have been a co-conspirator to the Peyton Silva trash talk. Just saying.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's funny.
We all screamed at him, "Where's your ring?" And then he said, "I still have my ring," all that stuff. And then we said, the guy kept saying in front of me, "You cheated. You don't have a championship." Then we started screaming two titles at him. It was great. It was fun.
I love that.
I don't know if I'm on the video, but still.
Looked like he was kind of playing around with y'all too.
Yeah, I don't think it was. There was no, I will say, there was no like real like, "Oh, we're going to fight each other."
That's sort of thing.
It was playful. It was playful. So now Pat Adams, however, dear God. He did know I was screaming at him. I know he did because he looked straight at me.
No, I will say this. I forgot what game it was, I think. But it was against one of those stinky teams. And I had a guy who actually was there as a fan for that game. And this guy behind me, because I was in the reserve, because, I mean, you know, they're all right. And he was screaming at the ref. And I shouldn't have done this, but I told him his name. And then so he was calling him by his first name the whole night. Like he was bad.
Pat Adams. I may have said some stuff to Pat. Not like threatening or anything like that, just like great call, all that stuff.
See when I heard they were chanting, "Ref, you suck," for a second I was like, why don't they just say Pat?
You know, yeah,
I'm sure everybody knows his name.
Oh yeah, everybody knew his name. Everybody knew his name. You're welcome.
Yeah, everybody knows his name.
But he made one play. First of all, it was out on Louisville. It wasn't out on Kentucky. Out of bounds call under the basket from half court, looking at the backside of both players. How is he the person making that call, not the ref that's looking right at the play? That's one of the worst calls I think I've ever seen in my life.
And I know I've been around basketball my whole life, and I know that ref is not supposed to make that call. Only the ref on the baseline is.
He actively, on a foul, tried to argue with another ref that he called it on the wrong person. When he was on the complete other opposite end of the court, he comes sprinting down saying, "You called it on the wrong person." They review it, and then they say, "No, I didn't call it on the wrong person."
No, if we lost that game, we would be furious at him.
It would be John Higgins
stuff. Now we're laughing it off. We're laughing it off now because how stupid it was.
Better watch saying John Higgins, by the way, or else we'll get sued.
My
bad.
I don't want any part of that. I don't, because I know we'll probably lose.
Nah,
we don't have the resources.
There's already been a case involving him about that exact same thing. We'll be all right.
Yeah, but also, we would be mad at him if we lost that game, and thankfully they didn't, and now we just laugh it off, because, I mean, that was ridiculous. That was
He's clearly got some sort of vendetta against Kentucky.
Five different calls I do remember that were terrible, and I know there's plenty more.
A lot of out-of-bounds calls he just completely botched. Completely.
Foul calls.
He called a foul on Jackson Robinson after the other player extended his arm and pushed him. How do you call that foul on Robinson?
I remember the one on Bria. He literally saw the replay, had his hands straight up, and then the level player goes up on him and got the layup, and they called the foul. And I'm like, where was the contact?
He's atrocious. He really is an atrocious ref.
I remember, and then I think the one you're talking about, the Robinson one, Jay Billis was like, "Yeah, I see no contact."
Yeah,
he was like, I see no contact, but the Louisville player initiated it. That's what he was getting at.
If it was going to be a foul, it was not on Robinson.
Yeah.
But whatever. So the Cats.
You know what's bad when even the announcers kind of get on.
Yeah, they kind of. I didn't really watch. I watched a slight replay of the game. I did hear them criticize him quite a bit. But I will say that they won. It is what it is. Kentucky now ranked number 4 in the polls. They did finally jump Duke after the dumbest poll I've ever seen in my life.
Back up number 1.
So they're at number 4. Iowa State, I think, is 3. Auburn 2. Tennessee 1. The SEC has at least 4 schools in the top 10.
Oh my gosh! I think it's more like 7
in the top 25. Yeah, it's crazy. It is nuts. It's
unbelievable.
This upcoming week, the Cats will play Ohio State. I believe that's at Madison Square Garden in the CBS Classic. Then they go on a 10-day break, play Brown, and then they open up.
10-day break of sadness. At least it's Christmas.
I guess. And then they
if it
open
wasn't
up.
Christmas. Oh, man.
Yeah. And then they'll open up SEC play against number whatever they are now, Florida. What number is Florida?
This would be 7 or 8.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, they.
Okay. I want to see that.
They are number 7. Florida is ranked number 7 in the country. So we'll play the 7th ranked team in the country at home in our first. Conference game. They play North Carolina tomorrow, by the way. That'll be a great game.
I'm going to be watching it.
That will be a phenomenal game.
Ohio State had a little bit of trouble with Auburn this weekend.
A little bit?
38.
Yeah.
Like, that's... oh, my gosh, they are struggling. Like, I know there was another game earlier this year when they were missing Bradshaw that they were getting killed. I forgot who it was, and I tweeted it out. I was like, they're not looking too good.
I believe Aaron Bradshaw is expected to play, is he not?
Yeah, he's back, I think.
I'm assuming he was back. I thought he was back. Yeah. I didn't watch any. I watched a little bit of the Auburn game, not a lot. I just watched enough to see, like, the score was just brutal. But
I didn't get to watch much of that.
I watched Clemson and Memphis mainly.
Busy Saturday.
Yeah, I was in line, but still. I think we should win this game. If we don't, then I'm a little concerned. We should win.
That's how I am. I'm like, I feel like you remember it's not the 2015 UCLA game, but a couple of years ago we played UCLA and we absolutely murdered them. And I feel like that should be the same with this game.
Or was it North Carolina?
Was it North Carolina?
What, they would beat by like 30 and Sevier Wheeler had like 27 or 28 in.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Is that when he had like a bunch of steals too?
Yeah.
What is up with the Champions Classic and steals? I think Lamont Bowers is going to have like 15 steals.
It might. I mean, he very well could. Also, like, CBS Classic has burned us in the past.
Aston Hagens had like 8 or 9 steals 1 year.
When's the last time we won the CBS Classic? Wait, last year. Last year.
We win a lot in that one.
See, we beat Carolina last year.
That gets us.
I'm trying to think. We beat Carolina there last year. UCLA beat us in, like, the worst game I've ever watched in my life the year before. That's when we had Oscar. Then North Carolina we beat again. Yeah, I think we played North Carolina, like, a lot. We haven't played Ohio State in a long time, actually.
I'm over here looking it up on my phone. Like, I don't have a computer right now.
I think Ohio State actually beat us last time we played them. 2019.
You know what? They're probably right.
I actually think we have never – actually, I believe we have never beaten Ohio State in this event. I believe Ohio State that's also beat – because Jamal Murray had like 30-something that one time.
Man, you know, I think it's time to turn the tide because this is we'll just say okay Ohio State team. Like, they got some little bit around them, and not much to make you worried.
An Ohio State team that, according to Matt Norlander in April, that Calipari was looking at going to in February. Fun fact. Anyway.
Kentucky is 5-5 in the CBS Sports Classic.
Yeah, so we're not good, but we're not bad. We're
UCLA is 3-6.
And all three of them are against us, I bet. Two of them I know are.
They have really taken a fall as a I know they're number 18 now, but
how though? They're not even that good.
I don't know. I picked North Carolina to win that one.
I'll definitely take Carolina. This is actually the weakest version of this event in a long time.
Yeah,
you got three teams that are really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky putting it on its back this week, it looks like. But
yeah, and apparently UCLA is top 25, but I'm not too high on them.
No.
I think North Carolina will get them. I really do. Like, I don't see why you wouldn't pick North Carolina, because I think it doesn't make sense.
I just think UCLA is a fraud. Is that what I think? But there's a world, though, where North Carolina comes out this week at like 6-6. They lose to Florida and lose UCLA. Let's talk about this. We're not a North Carolina podcast, but do you really keep Hubert Davis if you have another missed tournament this year?
No.
I don't think they do. I think they would get rid of him.
I wouldn't.
I don't know who they hire.
It's another – I know Mark Pope has worked out so far. It's another case of hiring former players that doesn't have a good track record of working.
And that's why we were all upset whenever it first happened.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a good track record.
Oh, yeah. That played a big part in it, because we were like, why would we get this guy when we can get a guy like Dan Hurley? And you see how that's turning out. So.
Yeah, we did end up winning that. But like you said, and Mike Woodson's probably gone in Indiana. I'm going to work off the assumption he's getting fired.
Yeah, he should.
He's terrible.
They're bad.
John Shire, if he doesn't do something in the tournament anytime soon, can't imagine he'll be back. I bet if they crumble in the tournament this year again, I will bet next year ends up being put up or shut up time for him.
Yeah.
I think that would be the case for him. I think Shire's solid, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, they're in a rough spot.
So, like, the Blue Bloods are really – well, I guess what I'm saying is we're looking at a real changing of the guard right now.
Yeah, even Hubert UCLA, Davis. I feel like UCLA is really close to being replaced in that classic.
If
you had to replace a team, probably would be either them or Ohio State.
Probably Ohio State, realistically.
Yeah.
I'd be all right with getting them out and putting UConn in.
Those two teams can't really keep up their end of the bargain. And you know what I mean? Like, pretty consistently, they're really mid at the event, because they got to go up against Kentucky and North Carolina that are insanely more superior than those two are. It's like, it's a big drop off in terms of programs, always.
Like, even us, at least we were winning those games, but. All right, it's almost it's about time for the Pope Show. I know you gotta do that, so let's go ahead and give our predictions for Ohio State, and then we'll call this one a wrap. So, just give me your score and your MVP.
I will go with Lamont Butler. Like I said, it seems like there's a scholar that always has like 10,000 steals in this game. So I'm just gonna go with Lamont Butler. He's gonna have 9 steals. And the Cats are going to win 88-75 over the Buckeyes.
I would have taken Lamont had you not done it already, but I'll go ahead and take Otega away.
How many steals is Otega getting?
I'll say 3.
Okay, there we go.
I'll say 3 steals.
12 steals combined in the
dear God
insane backcourt.
And on score, I'm going to take Kentucky 95, Ohio State 77. I think this is going to be a blowout, personally. I don't think this is going to be a very close game. I think we're going to be juiced up, and I think they're going to be flat. And that's going to be the end of that. But that's all I've got. What about you?
Yeah, like, they got – I noticed today I haven't looked too much into their stats because it's only Monday. And, you know, we usually have another game in between Saturdays.
So yeah.
I've noticed so far the pace is kind of what stands out to me. I think UNC. Ohio State is really low in the rankings on KenPom and tempo.
Yeah.
And you know how the Cats are. They're really high up there. So I think the Cats can control the tempo and they'll be good.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's what I'd say. But I got nothing else if you don't. So
no.
Stay sober and go Big Blue. Have a good week.
Baby.
Clutch up these finals. Have a good week. Stand up at Rupp, please.